On today's episode of The Sip, we're playing Two Truths and a Lie. But first, our personal lives have gotten a bit chaotic. Hello, you guys, and welcome to another episode of The Sip. I'm Ryland Adams, of course, joined by...
Lizzie Gordon. What? I had to check the strands. I'm sorry, I panicked.
You couldn't have done that before we started rolling.
Lizzie Gordon.
Thank you. It's a beautiful, wonderful day out here in Southern California. What?
Nothing. I'm clearly a mess.
You're showing a lot of skin. When you wear those slitty things, it makes me...
The slit.
When I'm editing, it starts to make me feel uncomfortable that something's going to pop out. And then today you're concerned about, well, what's going on with your emergency room?
Is that a bee?
It's one of those flying beetles.
What, bitch? Yeah, I've got a couple of things that I'd like to have a rat gnaw off and then send it to a lab.
A what?
Whatever's cheapest. You know what I'm saying?
A rat gnaw off?
A rat gnaw off.
A rat gnaw off.
Like, gnaw this little mole off my arm.
That is a saying that I've never been attuned to.
Yeah, it's cheaper than an actual dermatologist.
If you're worried about actual skin cancer, I think you should go straight to the professionals.
That's what you say as an individual with health insurance.
I don't know
but
why we have
to. But peasants out in these streets.
I think let's not get crazy, but I feel like you're making enough money to
get health insurance.
And I know that you are because we have a podcast together.
I mean, yeah, but like also no. Like I'm not about to do that with my money. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to wait till I join the Writers Guild and then get fucking health insurance through the guild.
Well, just go get a quote and see what's the cheapest, because especially when you have a history of skin cancer.
I saw quotes and I didn't like what I saw.
Yeah, but if you have a history of skin cancer, my brother has the same thing.
Yeah.
And it can flare up anywhere at any time.
Yeah.
And some of it is very dramatic and needs to be attended to.
Well, that's why I'm going to the urgent care after this to have them cut it off and biopsy it.
And what's going on? You have a rash and a mole or what?
So for a while I thought that this thing on my arm was a penis. Oh my God, what a weird slip of the tongue there. I thought it was a pimple. And then like, it just hasn't gone away and it just keeps getting bigger. So I'm going to have that cut off and checked out. And then this rash that I've been talking about on the podcast for a while, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And like now it's like kind of opening up into like a couple of little sores.
I don't remember you talking about a rash. Do I black out and just not listen to you when you're talking?
Yeah. That's a major concern in the comments too.
Really? Well, I will say you do scream a lot of things at me, even when we're not at the...
But I black out too.
Yeah, like even today.
Like this morning. Like, yeah.
I go, Lizzie, okay, so I wanted to talk about this. And she's staring at me and just blankly says, I wasn't listening. Can you start over? After I was 20 seconds into a pitch and there's literally things attacking us right now.
What the fuck? It's like Godzilla.
Oh my God. No.
What is it?
Oh my God.
Should we move?
Oh my God. Oh, what do we
do? Chris, be a man. Chris, help us.
Oh my God. Why does it want us specifically?
Chris!
Oh my God. Oh, it landed on me. What is it doing?
It's just a beetle, right?
I'm it's hot outside.
We're okay.
Everyone's laughing. Okay. Well, did you want to transition this into you being attacked by cats? I feel it's fitting.
Oh my God, yeah. So not only am I dealing with the fact that I have like nightmares of WebMD floating in my little brain now. Last night's the first time I Googled it because usually moles have pigment, but this is a pigmentless situation. I was like, well, then it can't be skin cancer. Like, it's got to be a blemish.
Mm-hmm.
And then I Googled it and it's like, oh no, you can have a colorless mole. And it's usually indicative of skin cancer, which I've had before. So
I wasn't trying to be insensitive. I didn't know if we were recording, but we are.
I didn't even notice.
You're going to go get it checked out today. I was talking about the cats.
I know. I was segueing into the cats.
Okay.
And then you were doing something else that I didn't know.
Okay. I'm so sorry. It's hot out here. We're being attacked by bees.
Have a sip of your LaCroix. Take a deep breath.
And my coffee. I've got lots of liquid.
Can't believe you're the mess. I have skin cancer and you're panicking.
Sorry.
Is it because you care so much?
I do. I care a very large amount.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
I've also been like attacked by two cats randomly lately. And it's just like, what the fuck is the universe trying to tell me there?
In your neighborhood? Where?
Randomly. So I was attacked by a cat at my friend Danica's house. Her cat, fucking Beans, attacked the shit out of me for no reason. And then I was dropping off a hard drive at an editor's house and her fucking cat attacked me too. Drew blood. I got cuts.
When you say attack, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Fuck a cat. fuck a cat.
My cats are very polite to you.
They're
I believe.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know. Cookie was weird this morning. She gave me weird vibes. And Cheeto's been kind to me on a couple of occasions, but it's not like Cheeto's consistent vibe is like welcoming.
I think Cheeto has come a long way.
I don't give a shit. It's still a cat that's trying to suck my soul out and attack me at random.
Maybe you're giving off the bad energy, and they can sense because you know how like when a dog, when you. They say dogs aggressively bark
with me.
Well, okay, but they say dogs aggressively bark at people that have bad spirits or bad intentions.
Yeah.
And like Uno, he's a very well-behaved dog, but every once in a while, he'll just lose his shit on a human.
Yeah,
and
but they're probably a bad person.
That's a bad person.
Yeah.
So maybe my cats and these cats are trying to say something about you.
I don't think that's cats, though. I think cats are just hateful creatures.
Well, that's rude.
Is it?
I mean, they come from the family of lions and things like cats. Cats are scary.
Yeah, which is an apex predator.
Yeah, I mean, I will never forget when we first got Cheeto and he attacked my face aggressively. Did you
ever
see that photo?
Are you a bad person? No.
No, but he was still acclimating to our house.
No, he's a hateful critter. Cats are hateful critters.
No, but speaking of animals, I had a horrifying situation with my dogs. It's not like scary, but it is
you used the word horrifying.
Yeah, because it was like I've had my dogs for 4.5 years now,
yeah.
And something so gross has never happened in my life.
What
and
happened? I don't even want to know about it.
I don't know if I can even show the video, but it's going to take the video for you to understand just how drastic this was. I was walking them the other day, and every time Honey's peeing, Uno has to get right up in it and mark his territory over Honey, I guess because he's like the dominant in the family. He lived here first, the alpha. And so there's been a few instances in which Uno tries to get there so quick that Honey actually pees on Uno's face. And it's like, okay, that sucks.
That's how you get pink eye.
Not the greatest thing in the world. But for the first time in 4.5 years, Honey was taking a shit.
No.
She was bent down taking a shit.
No.
Uno decides she needed to get right up in there and take a shit next to Honey.
I love you misgendering Uno through all this, too.
Uno swiped under Honey's ass as Honey's shitting. And Honey shits all over Uno's face. And I'm 15 minutes into a 30-minute walk. I have nothing but dog poop bags.
Was it like runny poop?
Well, he
was Uno covered in war paint poop.
Mm-hmm.
No,
there's a scar. There was a war
show
paint
me the picture. Scar.
Well, no, it's a video. I'll have to find it while we're looking.
Why wouldn't you have that queued up? Oh, Uno, look at your little sweet face.
And then the
look
worst
at him.
Part,
he doesn't even know, and he's just looking at you like, why is it bad, Daddy?
And then the worst part is I had to stroll along the world for 15 more minutes while there was shit on
why
my dog's
why didn't you just
head.
Take him home?
I was trying to get home, but I wasn't close to home.
Oh, honey.
Oh, my gosh.
That is so devastating.
Okay, do you have anything else going on?
I don't know if I can continue. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've never... I've seen some shit too.
Well, then I can talk about more shit that disturbed me because Shane and I recently fell down a hole of watching people dive. Like,
dive.
Like, we watched professional divers doing like jumping off of 10 meters, which is the equivalent of 3 stories, which is like what Olympian divers do.
Yeah.
And so now I've made it my mission by the end of the summer to jump off of a 10 meter dive platform.
I honestly don't think that's a good idea. I'm serious.
No, we started watching a ton of videos.
Did you see that girl on TikTok who does the super high dive where she has to like walk up to the roof of the building?
She does 20 meters.
Yeah, here's the deal. I don't think you should do that unless you train with a fucking professional.
Well,
you could break your bones. You could break your neck on impact.
And that's what I'm getting to. But there is a way to safely go from the 3 to the 5 to the 7 to the 10 and jump. I'm not diving. I'm not going head first or flipping.
Right.
But a lot of people do the 10 meter dive. And I have...
Where are you going
to
do it?
I don't know. I'm going to have to find... I think a lot of the public pools have these 10 meter dives. But I guess ABC also did a show like called Splash that I started falling down into a hole of where they had Drake Bell and a bunch of other celebrities and they got massively injured because they were training to do actual dives off of 10 meters doing flips and stuff.
Yeah.
And Drake Bell not only like his eardrum erupted. He ruptured. He fucked up his back. And
this is
like,
what I'm saying. Like, it's genuinely not a good idea. Yeah. Remember when you called me and you told me you were going to do the 10,000 calorie challenge and I said, I don't think this is a good idea. And then you threw up blood. You remember?
But you joined the journey?
Yeah, because I'm...
So are you going to do that with me this week?
No, actually, I think that this diving thing is legitimately not
something
you should
do. Well, I'm not going to actually dive, but I think that's why...
Even just the jumping, baby. I'm saying I don't like this plan. Love you, and I love your face and your ears and your neck and your arms and your hands where they are.
Well, I went cliff jumping about five years ago.
You also shouldn't do that.
I know, and I had no idea. I was just like, everyone else is jumping. There's 10-year-old kids jumping, so I jumped.
You know,
I lifted up my leg and smacked my thigh on it, and it was purple bruised for a month, and I had to go wait tables later that night, and I was like limping with a huge bruise.
No, it's like those deep hematomas are not a joke.
I want to get proper training though, and at least try a nice jump just to conquer my fear of heights, because then we started watching.
Do it from like 6 feet. 6 feet scary.
Well, have you watched the videos of people like climbing up to the craziest
things? Yeah, and they make
me
nervous.
Well, and even just taking photos and stuff.
Yeah, I hate it. My stomach twists and turns.
So, yes. And it's weird because I guess that's why those kinds of videos on YouTube are popular, because you feel sensations just from watching, even though you're not doing
it. It's like my anxiety is not enough. I just need this bitch's anxiety too. Like, I don't feel good unless I'm physically irked.
It's like, I'm not going to go skydiving because I'm too afraid of maybe the parachute not.
Don't do that. But there was a really funny clip of The Bachelor where this girl was like, our hometown, like, we're going to go skydiving. And as they're landing, she hits...
Wait, what?
I shouldn't be laughing, but it's the funniest tape I've ever seen. She hits a gust of wind and just eats it. Like, she just face plants so hard that she's got grass in her nose and in her mouth. And he's like, oh my God, I was so worried about you. And she's just like rocked.
And that's like the best that could happen. I mean, so many worse things could go wrong.
I have to send you that video though. Like, me and James rewound it and watched it like 3 times over, scream laughing.
So then, because I'll never actually commit myself. So the most thrilling sensation I can get is through watching the videos. And then I remembered Chris, our cameraman on the show, was telling me about a VR game called Richie's Plank. And so Shane and I downloaded this Richie's Plank, and it's in virtual reality where it takes you up the elevator, like, I don't even know, 70
floors.
Yeah,
let this be enough for you.
It is
terrifying.
I think this is the game that you broke your TV to, right?
No, he was playing soccer when he broke his TV. He was playing VR soccer.
Chris had to go buy a new TV from playing VR because he ran into the TV.
Like a fool.
But I think before you leave,
I'll do the VR. The VR shit scares the hell out of me. I did one that was like, you're up at the top of a building and a robot comes to get you and it swoops at you, and so all of a sudden you're plummeting through the air with the building, and it's just like, ah!
Well, if you're watching the video, I'm going to make you do a plank walk after this. Okay. If you're watching the video version at the end of this podcast, I'll put in some just regular vlog style clips of Lizzie and I playing, because Shane recorded me last night. And I didn't think I'd be scared because you know you're on the ground.
No, but you
but
feel
you're still,
it.
I was screaming like a little bitch.
It's a gnarly simulation. Like when I play the zombie games with our like VR headset on, I'm literally like, it's too close. It's too close. I'll be alone in the living room just screaming, Joe! James, like, needing help, and no one's in the house and no one hears my calls. Like, sad.
Right, we've got to take a break, but we'll be right back. Today's episode is sponsored by one of our favorites, Function of Beauty, who have sponsored the show many times before.
Okay, guys, if you don't love your hair, then it's time to break up with your current hair routine and try Function of Beauty instead.
Function of Beauty is the world leader in customizable beauty, offering precise formulations for your hair's specific needs. Here's how to get started. Take the quiz online to tell them about your hair type, your hair goals like length, volume, and oil control. And because your hair changes with the season, you can change your hair goals before every shipment. Next, you get to choose your color or fragrance, but you can also opt to go fragrance or dye free.
Function's team determines the perfect blend of ingredients, bottles your formula, and delivers it right to you. There are literally 54 trillion possibilities.
Oh my gosh. Every ingredient that Function of Beauty uses is vegan, cruelty-free, and they never use sulfates or parabens, and you can also go completely silicone-free. They also offer completely personalized formula for body and skincare, so you can customize your beauty routine from hair to toe.
Never buy off the shelf again. Just to be disappointed, go to functionofbeauty.com/thesip to take your quiz and save 20% off your first order today. That applies to a full range of customized hair, skin, and body products. Go to functionofbeauty.com/thesip to let them know you heard about it from our show and to get 20% off your order. Functionofbeauty.com/thesip for 20% off your order. Yeah, I was scrolling through news in the morning as I'm wont to do.
Your Daily Mail hour and what was it?
It's 45 like? Minutes, you son of a bitch, because I'm reading. I don't just follow the headlines. I read to find the substance inside of it and jump to my own conclusions.
So what substance did you find this week?
Did you say substance?
And then I tried to correct myself and said it wrong again.
Yeah, that's okay. We all do that.
Okay.
We all do that. So I noticed that Pete Davidson, is it Davidson or Davidson?
The world will never know.
I mean, the world probably knows. I don't care.
We'll never know.
So number one, he like emceed Jake Paul's fight this weekend.
Really?
But was like a dick to Jake Paul the whole time, which was interesting.
Didn't it only last 2 minutes? He couldn't have been a dick for too long.
I honestly, shockingly, wasn't even aware of this Jake Paul fight coming up. Like, I saw on Tana's stories that she was like in Mexico or something, and I just was like, oh, good for her. Like, what's she doing in a pandemic in Mexico? Like, whatever. But didn't know that it was for Jake's fight. And I guess Jake fought a guy and
beat him up in 2 minutes. Okay, back to.
Oh, I forgot. Sorry. So, Pete Davidson or Davison, however you choose to identify yourself, Dave. Pete.
Okay. They get
it. He's playing Joey Ramone in the Ramones biopic.
And?
I was wondering if you even know who the Ramones are. Because we went to Abercrombie and Fitch this weekend to go
Lizzie
shopping.
Lizzie dragged me to Abercrombie and Fitch.
Which you were a bitch about until you walked out wearing this Sublime t-shirt and said, can I wear a band tee if I don't know the band?
Well, I know that's a very like hot button topic.
Yeah, but how do you not know Sublime?
Well, okay, relax. I don't know. Then you told me they have the Santori. I ain't got no crystal ball.
Yeah.
So I was like, I
do
know them.
You're
so
aware.
So then I'm allowed to wear it.
Yeah.
And the thing is, for me, with my clothing journey, it's hard to find a shirt that I like the color palette and that fits me well. And so when I found a shirt that did both, that just so happened to be a band tee, I'm like, am I really not allowed to wear a band tee just because the world says you can't wear band tees if you don't really love the band?
I personally feel that way. I personally do believe that.
Well, then I feel justified in this purchase because I like that song. I don't know what it's called, but I like it. Crystal Ball?
Santeria.
I think. If I had $1 million, that I can't sing, but
it's
you get
close.
It. And no, I don't know who Joey Ramone is, but I know like the Ramones on every single t-shirt in the whole entire world, like the black
See,
t-shirt.
See, the band
tees
for motherfuckers that don't. So the Ramones was like a punk band in the 80s.
But shouldn't they be excited that like the brand awareness? Like, I don't know.
So the Ramones have a brand awareness. Well, no, just because you're not aware doesn't mean they don't have awareness.
Okay, now you're making me look stupid, but it's about a man, so I don't care. But what I'm saying is like
for the
person like me.
Yeah.
That doesn't know a bunch of
Ramones. Yeah, but we
also
don't even know Pete Davidson's name. Like, is it really great brand awareness if you're also like not aware of the guy playing the role?
Okay, so no, I'm not super familiar with the Ramones. I'm sure I know some of their songs if you were to play them out loud for me right now. But I do know of them because of their shirts that so many people wear. And I'm just saying, if everyone in the world wore a Ryland Adams shirt but didn't really know who Ryland Adams was, I still think I'd be like, well, thank you for wearing my shirt.
Yeah.
So I feel justified in wearing band shirts that I don't know.
Cool.
End of story.
Good for you. I always feel like a dumbass in my Led Zeppelin shirt.
Did you see why? Because you don't listen to them?
No.
Did you see the guy that proposed with 5 rings on Instagram?
Yeah.
Wait, what? Are you
kidding? Come on.
No, I think this is the most innovative, genius, caring, loving idea.
I mean, I don't know if we should go. That is a toxic fucking road you're paving.
Well, I don't think he paid for all of them.
How did he get 5 fucking rings then?
He thanked the jeweler in the caption. I think that this is something you could be able to... I don't know. I just saw the story and I thought... I saw the pictures when I swiped on his Instagram and I thought, what a great... I don't think he bought all of them. So I'm not saying like, buy 5 rings.
Yeah.
I'm saying like, if a jeweler's down to do that, I think it's sweet to be able to present your woman or your man's with options and then they get to choose. You're like, I went through the store. I chose an array of 5 rings that are stunning. Which one do you like the most? Because this is something that person's going to wear for the rest of their life if you don't get a divorce.
Yeah, but I do think that the luxury of choosing, being able to say to your lady, like, go choose your ring is like, you're probably rich.
No.
Like to me,
it could be from any jewelry store.
Right. It can be from any jewelry store, but think about a man who's like, you can pick between these $8,000 to $20,000.
I'm telling you,
rings.
It was very clear that the jeweler was fine with him doing
this.
No,
I know, but I'm saying if you take your bitch to a jewelry store and you're like, you can only look at the ones that are $500 to $1,000, she's not going to feel as sexy as the bitch who gets to pick from a $10,000 to a $20,000 ring.
Well, that's what I'm saying is if you pick the 5 that are in your price range and present them to her and the jeweler's cool with that, then that's great.
I guess that's sweet.
I don't know. I have to be a downer about it.
I don't
it.
Know. I hate it.
I guess there is some.
I just feel like it's setting another Hallmark expectation, like another Pinterest moment. That's just like all these things are tied up into like the keeping up with the fucking.
But it's not required. No, it's. Every situation like this is to each their own. Right. It's not like because one person does something, the other person has to do it. It's like, right. I'm a boy wearing a woman's ring. It's like right. anything goes. I'm just saying I liked the sentiment that this guy displayed. I don't think the whole world has to follow suit.
Right.
It's
I guess
like
that's true.
Do whatever you want in yeah. life. But I do also think there's something like I feel special about these because I didn't choose them. Shane did.
Yeah.
And so there's also something special about that. Like if I had an option, then I might feel like, oh, but I wish he would have just chosen. But yeah. I don't know.
No, I get it. I think it is what it is.
All right. Did you want to talk about Biden on the golf course?
I just think it's funny that that every time there's a president, it's like, this is their first time on the golf course since becoming president. And it's like, that is literally a staple of a presidential term is the first time they hit the green. And it's like, why do we fucking care?
I mean, it's been decades of this where it's like the first time Jimmy's hit the green. It's like, what if you're a president who doesn't like the golf? I don't fuck with golfing. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to start golfing.
Do they do it to be POTUS? Do you got to golf?
I get is something happening with you?
I'm struggling
over there?
With it, honestly.
I don't know what's going on.
I like it in a certain spot.
I was thinking less of the golf, but more of I want to join a country club, to make friends.
Do you make friends at a country club?
Yes, I think that's what I think it's like. I think there's a social aspect to the country club. But I just, with the presidential golf thing, are they upset that they're taking
sometimes,
the time?
Sometimes it's like the media will spin it as like, can you believe they're golfing while there's people dying in Africa, Kim?
Well, oh, now there's a beat. The thing, though, is you have to have relief from anything you're doing.
Yeah.
And no matter if that's golf, if that's meditating, if that's getting out of your house to take a walk, if you get so lost in what you're doing 24 hours a day, how can he be the best president he's supposed to be if he doesn't get some breath of air?
I don't know. With the president situation, I'm always like, that motherfucker, you don't have a life anymore, dude. Like, you don't get a break.
So let him golf.
I don't know. I'm saying, if you're the president, if you're on call 24/7. I don't love that you're golfing. When Obama used to play basketball, I'm like, get back in the office.
Well, no, they have to. It's the same thing as us. When we're having a bad day, our ways to get back to sanity, they have to have the same release in some form.
Yeah, I just want my president to be superhuman and not need to have a release and just be constantly sane. That's my wish.
Okay, well,
Allison
Brie and Dave Franco, I guess, said that they spent their early pandemic days sleeping in and eating too much before finding a routine that helped themselves and their relationships thrive.
Yeah.
So this is your pitch.
Yeah.
So you wanted to share what?
No, I just love that because I've been I realized that oh, goddamn, my nails are so brittle and gross. I can't even handle it. Sorry. Yeah, no, I realized that during the pandemic and straight up quarantine and straight up lockdown, I lost my will to thrive,
mm-hmm.
which is sad and not great. And I know you don't feel well when you're not doing something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so when I read that, I was like, damn, I should have I should wake up at a certain time. I shouldn't be up until 4 just because I can be up until 4 and then wake up at noon to do nothing again the next day.
Yeah.
The mental health that comes with a routine is so nice. You wake up and you know this is what you do. You hit the ground running. You get out of bed.
Yeah.
Just start with getting out of bed. That's how simple it has to be.
And luckily for me, I was confronted with this when I left my full-time job years and years and years ago. Mm-hmm. So when coronavirus hit, I was already working from home. So yeah. I had already implemented things for success for myself.
Yeah.
Being that when I did leave Clever, when I was working so many hours and Sundays most of the time, mm-hmm. I did find myself being what am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to be? And I don't have any I'm not chemically depressed or mm-hmm. depressive by nature, but I still do have to work very hard to be happy, meaning that I have to wake up, work out, meditate. And I don't enjoy that hour of my day, but I have to do it or I've fall into a state of nothing.
So I was the same way. I work from home too as a writer. And so I used to get dressed every day. I stopped doing that in the pandemic. You know what I mean? I used to wake up at 6:50, hit the ground running, start my day, have breakfast, everything handled by 9, and then start working and be dressed. I'd shower and get dressed. And it's I've stopped showering. You know what I mean? That's crazy. My anxiety level was through the roof. I'd be like, wow, I don't know what I'm so anxious about. It's bitch, you're anxious because you haven't done anything in a year.
And I think happiness is hard. You have to work hard to maintain happiness.
Yeah.
And
so I started on top of my hot girl shit.
riding the bike for 15 minutes.
You have a stationary bike?
Yeah, which is really funny because I don't know how to work it because it's literally a Japanese bike. Like, Joe got a bike that's Japanese. Like, I don't know how to explain it any other way.
Like, the language?
Yeah, the language has... It's Japanese. Like, you can't read any of the characters on it. Like, I don't know how to start it.
So you just get on and hope for the best?
Yeah, Joe's like, here's how you do it. And he presses all these buttons. And I'm just... He's like, you see? And then he's like telling me, he's like, first you hit this option and then that option. And I'm just like, what? He's like, and then you hit start, obviously. And I'm just like, how do you know it says... Because Joe doesn't speak Japanese.
Well, he figure it out.
Yeah, and he's had this bike since before I've known him. Like, he might have had this bike for 10 years.
And you just now started using it.
Yeah, because it hurts my butt.
Right.
And my cooter. That it really hurts my cooter.
With cycling, that is a hill you got to cross. Or climb.
Say hill.
Oh, God.
I
think it's the Colorado in me. It's like people don't like how I say mountain or hill.
I don't mind how you say mountain. Californians don't say T's either. So it's like Santa Clara or Santa Clara.
Right. I get Huntington a lot of that, though. Beach. Like, I forget the words
but
that people call me out
is,
on. Hill.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
It's just, that was a real one. Is that, and that's Colorado?
I would think so. I don't know. Maybe everyone that lives in Colorado is going to be like, I don't talk like that. But it's how I talk. So.
No, it's like, I can very distinctly hear, like, a specific Canadian accent.
Through me?
No, from Canadians.
Oh, yeah. Well, because they, like, make up words.
They is don't that... make up words.
Well, not, like, make up words, but they have, like... They say different things than us, for sure.
Yeah, they say hey a lot. I don't know. It's just something I've noticed about it. When I was working in Vancouver, everyone there was like, oh, well, it's a good day, hey.
It's crazy because I'm blanking on the things that they say that like
they
wow
say
me
a
right
too,
now.
But I think A is like a hyphenate of hey.
Okay, well, I wanted to play two truths and a lie. Well, this is actually your idea.
Yeah, it was my idea, which I thought was my idea when I hit you up about it. Then I was like, oh, wait, no, they did this on the morning test. And you're like, yeah, this isn't your idea.
No, they did
everyone
this everywhere.
Everyone does this.
Yeah. I like that you're stealing inspiration from them, though. At least you're crediting them.
I do love them. I think I'm going to join their book club, too. The Redhead has a book called club that's like something about like it's never too late to be a redhead. And it's like, damn, I want to read. I want to better myself. I want to learn these words, hey?
Today's episode is sponsored by one of my new favorites, which so happens to be Storyworth. If there's ever been a year to make the moms in your life feel loved and appreciated on Mother's Day, this is the one. It's so hard to stay close and connected, especially when we can't see our parents or our moms as much as we normally would. That's why I'm honoring my mom with a heartfelt, sentimental gift that the whole family can enjoy and cherish together forever. Storyworth. So Storyworth is an online service that helps your mom, grandmother, mother-in-law, or every figure in your life share stories through thought-provoking questions about their memories and personal thoughts. It's a fun new way to engage with them, especially if we can't be together in person. So every week, Storyworth emails your mom with a different story prompt, questions you've never thought to ask, like what's some of the best advice your mother gave you, and if you could choose any talents to have, what would they be? Storyworth has helped numerous families learn about each other in deep, special ways, and their testimonials will make you basically tear up.
It's a beautiful thing to do, by the way. It's something you should do for yourself more than for your mom, because you're going to love the stories that you get at the end of that.
Yeah, and they've already created powerful experiences for me. They send a prompt every single week, like I said, and I've already learned more about my mom than I ever thought
I love that.
To have asked by myself, because they are thoughts, questions, and prompts that you wouldn't just specifically ask, and they get delivered every week, and then by the end of the year, they bind them into a beautiful book that you'll have forever and ever, and you can like eventually I'll get to show my kids, which are her grandkids.
Yeah, the Mama Adams story.
So give your mom the most meaningful gift this Mother's Day by going to storyworth.com/thesip. You'll get $10 off your first purchase. That's storyworth.com/thesip for $10 off your first purchase. Okay, now it's time for
Two Truths and a Lie.
Wow, that wasn't even planned. All right.
No, I told you I'm always good for things like that.
Okay.
I got you.
Hit me with your two truths and a lie, and I'm going to try to detect the lie, which coming from a liar, it's going to be very hard.
You think I'm a liar?
You admit that you're a liar. You say that you confess to your lies, but that you like to lie.
I mean, yeah, that's true. Okay. So.
Oh, you've memorized.
I just know my truths and my lies.
All right. I'm ready.
I'm nervous though. Like, I don't like lying. Like, it doesn't feel good to lie. It really doesn't. Like, I literally, like, my chest is throbbing right now. Like, I'm pretty sure I'm going to start getting splotchy. Like, it feels like I'm about to, like, drop on a roller coaster a little bit inside.
I love that.
I don't like it.
Okay.
I'm nervous, Daddy.
And I'm ready.
Okay, again, here we go. I didn't know I was going to have to go first.
Well, mine's... Okay, just go. Come on.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just biding my time because I don't like doing this. But it was my idea. Yeah. I don't know why it feels so scary.
The anticipation is driving me
it's
nuts.
It's killing me too. That's crazy. We're so
tricking up the coaster. All right, I'm ready to go down.
All right. In 2006, I turned 16 years old.
Oh my gosh.
And I was in Maryland, Washington, D.C. to be specific. And I went to church with George Bush, who was the sitting president at the time. And he shook my hand and said, God bless you. And it was everything.
Okay.
Not that I'm a Republican, but it was just like crazy to go to church with the president.
Right.
I'm scuba certified because when I was in college, and I hate the ocean, which is ridiculous, yeah, but when I was in college, I was seeing this guy who told me that it would be cool if I took a scuba diving class. So I took a scuba diving class that was at 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning on Fridays at Chico State, where we're not near the ocean. So it didn't require going to the ocean to be scuba certified. And that's how I got my certificate.
Okay.
And when I was 13, I was invited to play on an international soccer team and went to Liverpool for the summer, where I also became the captain of the soccer team. And there was one young man who looked like Freddie Adu, who was a young man who had just become kind of big in the soccer community, or the football community, if you're classy. And one of the guys that was part of like the boys team pretended to be Freddie Adu at a soccer stadium during a game, like a club game.
Uh-huh.
And all of us lined up behind him and we're like, oh my God, Freddie Ling, let me get your autograph. And then everybody started lining up behind him to get his autograph, but it wasn't Freddie Adu.
Okay. So because like you didn't even get in the water for your now fiance, and I like water sports and still won't scuba dive because my ear problems.
But I told you I didn't have to go in the ocean. It was at Chico State. It was all in a classroom, and that's how I got my certificate.
You can get a certificate without entering the water?
Yeah, you have to listen to me when I'm telling you my stories.
Well, they were very long and detailed.
Yeah, because okay. I'm not a liar.
So I believe that one then, if you didn't have to enter the water. And I don't believe your soccer... Oh, I could see... Your George Bush one was just so detailed that I feel like it's got to be the truth. So I'm going to say your lie was your Freddie Adu soccer Liverpool experience.
Is that your final answer?
That was my final answer.
Well, you're a stupid bitch because I'm not scuba certified.
So you got me with your not entering the water.
I should have known. I got scared.
I should have known that you have to enter the water for a scuba certificate.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you probably have to do that. Or at least go in a pool.
So you really did go to church with George W. Bush.
Yeah.
And you really did go to Liverpool.
I did.
You talented little soccer girl.
I was the captain of the team.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Soccer and then I quit it all for cheerleading because I wanted to be one of those girls and I wasn't very good at cheerleading.
Soccer was the only sport I could try to fake. I sat on the bench most of the time.
Fake?
Well, you know.
You're just running around?
It's like...
running as fast as you can?
Yeah. I made JV.
Love that.
But I was on the bench most of the season. But I liked going to practice. Like a few of my friends had joined. So that was the only real sport I faked.
Love that for you.
Okay. Mine are much shorter and much less detailed. See, I'm
not... Do you have anxiety about it, though?
Well, I'm not much of a storyteller, so
oh my God,
like...
I'm so nervous. It's such a relief to be done.
Okay. My parents thought I was a girl until the second I popped out in the delivery room.
Mm-hmm.
I had a 4.0 GPA in high school,
mm-hmm.
and I had crippling OCD as a kid to the point where I couldn't leave the house.
Well, you didn't have a 4.0. And I know that because you chose a bunch of truths that we've talked about on the podcast at length with your mother.
Oh, shit.
Why would you do that?
Well, because I don't have anything that the internet doesn't know about me.
I'm sure you do.
After 4 years on the internet, spilling my heart.
I don't know. I didn't know you had a sex swing.
Well, no, yeah. I've said that on the podcast,
too.
No,
I know, but, you probably have dark, weird shit like that.
Everything that might be interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah. The rest of the week, I'm just doing nothing but sitting at my computer.
Wow.
And I didn't come up with any good creative stories. That's why
I came up with mine on the fly.
Because I told Lizzie.
You were like, prepare this. And I was like, I don't prepare. I step on the court and I fucking emanate greatness.
Well, initially I had planned for us to each do two.
Yeah.
And then Lizzie got here this morning and I was like, hike it. I don't even have enough for one.
Yeah. Interesting. What's your greatest fear? We don't know your greatest fear.
You don't?
Oh, your penis at the doctor getting hard?
Oh, that is one of my irrational fears.
Right.
Not so irrational. Listen to the
it's
first
rational.
Ever. That's
yeah.
the first ever audio episode that wasn't yet a video
right.
where I detail
a
my
classic.
Experiences getting hard at the doctor's office.
It's not like you get hard. It's just that's your fear.
I get half hard.
I forgot that.
I think myself into being hard, but I'm an easy hard getter. I'm hard at every, I get hard very
wow.
easily. This is too
flexing
much.
Flexing on them hoes right now. I get hard.
Quick.
Quick.
I could probably get hard for you right now.
Oh my God, don't.
I thought that would have been like your biggest compliment.
I mean, it would, but it's like, Chris is here. Yeah. This is a professional environment. You're I don't think you should be getting hard.
Oh my gosh. Now that you're putting it in a work environment, that isn't appropriate.
Yeah. I mean, I'm fine with it.
I'm sure my fiance isn't.
I mean, it's. I know it's not about me, so I'm less flattered. Like, if it was about me.
I said
me, then,
for you.
But it's not about me.
Hmm. I wonder if I could with the cameras on.
Don't do it.
We have a few viewer voicemails that I wanted to visit. Let's play the first of which.
I'm going to say right off the bat, I love you, Rylan, but I have a bone to pick with you. Why is it you said on your podcast that you have never done drugs, but I heard you on another podcast from maybe a year and a half or 2 years ago that you did do coke when you first moved to LA? And bottom line, regardless, I just want to say I love you. I have like four of your shirts. And Lizzie, congrats on your sobriety. And Bridget, I love your voice.
Clocked.
Yeah.
I completely forgot. Did I not say on the podcast that I had done coke? Or did I just say I've only done weed?
I don't remember.
Wow.
But there's your two truths and a lie, buddy.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. I should have listened to it beforehand. Yes, I did do coke once and I absolutely hated it. And yeah. I hated coke before I even ever tried it because all of my roommates in college were heavy coke users and I hated their behavior while they were on coke. They were just like manically running from room to room, like
weird,
so jazzed up.
Yeah.
And I like can only be a certain amount of caffeinated as it is.
Yeah.
But I did.
You don't need an upper.
At my roommate's sister's party in LA, one of my first few years living here, I tried it once and immediately hated it.
It's gross.
Yeah, I think I would much rather try. I wish I would have tried something like mushrooms instead of coke.
Yeah.
And yeah, so coke's definitely not for me, but you're right. Yeah.
I never tried coke.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. I have one more voicemail for us.
I was scared of the drips. That shit sounds gross. People were like, oh God. Got chemicals dripping down the back of my throat. Tastes like straight up chemicals. I was like, I'm going to pass on that. I thought about doing it really heavily when I was 16 and tried to pick some up. And then I was like, oh, my dad's here to get me. Saved by the bell.
Which dad's a big fan of the pod. All right.
Oh, hey, daddy.
Lizzie and Rylan and Shane, P.S. We miss you. Oh. I love your podcast. Please don't ever cancel it. My question is mostly for Lizzie. I know your sobriety is super important to you. Serious congrats, by the way, because that is not easy.
Thank you.
But have you ever used the Serenity Prayer before in your day-to-day life? And have you ever used it to give advice to friends or family during their hard times? That was my question. Thank you, guys. Keep up the great work. Bye.
Yeah.
My name is Kathy, by the way.
Hey, Kath. Yeah, I use the Serenity Prayer every single day.
Is that the one that was on the back of...
That's the one that's on the back of the coin. That's the one that I repeat ad nauseum when I'm having a hard time and I'm rolled up in bed in my nightgown.
And so that's not unique to you. That's a very universal...
Oh, yeah. It's a huge... It's most AA meetings start with a Serenity Prayer or end with a Serenity Prayer or have Serenity Prayer somewhere in them. It is the best advice I have ever been open to receiving and
hearing.
And
what is it? One more time.
God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. The courage to change the things I can and the wisdom to know the difference. So if I have a friend that has a problem with an external thing that they can't control, like a person, a place, or a thing, I just say, well, that thing is going to be the way that it is. You can't change that.
Right.
What you can change is your response to it. Yeah, I mean, I use it every day and I pretend like I'm the genius who came up with it because I'll paraphrase it and make it my own and I'm an asshole. But it's definitely the best. It's the best. It's so. It's a huge relief to know that like, oh, I can't control that. I don't have to worry about it.
All right, you guys. Well, if you want to leave us a voicemail, please ask us advice. You can use it as a comment section to ask us questions about things we talked about on this show. Our number is 747-217-2370.
Wait a minute. I just realized I spent this whole episode with like sunscreen on my sleeve.
Well, that's not unique to you. I think better having sunscreen and a splotch of it than not wearing sunscreen at all, which I forgot my sunscreen today.
True.
Do you have anything to tell the people before you go, as you would like to say? Your audience?
I'd like to check in with my audience about how cute Stormy was. Dressed as a little chicken.
Show me the picture. I know you had, Lizzie had been raving about Stormy this morning and I didn't even look at the picture.
She's so fucking cute. Like, what's she doing?
Oh my gosh.
Right? Does that not kill you? Stormy just living her best little chicken life?
Is this just an every...
You can scroll. There's two.
What, was this for something specific?
No, she just wanted to be a little chicken.
just a nice little Monday treat.
And you know what? We do have to say this on record. So Chris's mans has been in the same environment
as Stormy. Are you allowed to say this?
I don't give a fuck. Chris's mans has been in the same environment as Stormaloo and has nothing but nice things to say about the infant and that she has really good manners and that she's very verbal. And like, I think honestly, like...
We should do... Can we do a podcast from where he works, Chris? Do you think?
Wait, why?
It's an ice cream shop. What's it called? Sloan's Ice Cream, and the Kardashians go and film there.
Right, but I feel often. Like that's stalkery if we're just there to see them.
Chris will call up the shop and be like, oh, we want to film there today.
Yeah.
And she really likes his boyfriend. So like, we're 2 degrees from Kris Jenner.
Oh my God, Chris likes your boyfriend?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like she?
How do you even know
they've
that?
They've developed a friendly relationship through her filming at the store because she has to contact him to film at the store. But I'm starting to think we could do a podcast at the store. And it's like this beautiful, fun, vibrant ice cream shop.
I would love that. I love ice cream.
Yeah, let's plan that.
I fucking love ice cream.
All right. And before we go, the only other thing I have to say is I'm finally fulfilling my fantasy of surfing tomorrow. So pray for me.
Wait, are you going alone?
No, I asked people on Instagram who knew how to surf and wanted to teach me. So one of my friends from a long time ago is going to teach me how to surf tomorrow. I got a wetsuit and everything. So that vlog will be up later this week.
Where are you surfing?
In Malibu.
Oh my God.
In the boo.
Are you excited?
I'm so excited.
That's so cute. You literally look really happy and like it's coming from the inside out. I really love that for you.
All right, you guys, that is all we have for today's episode of The Sip. If you want to follow us on social media, we're at The Sip Official. We're also on there personally. We so appreciate your support and love for our show. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
And that's the sip.